Hello and welcome to another episode of Everyman Sports. My name is Chad. I'm the owner-operator of this podcast. With me today is my dad as we talk about the outcome of the wild card weekend and into the divisional round. How you doing, Dad?
I'm doing great, son. Good now, to be here.
Four games last week, the wild card games. Three of the road teams won, and the other one should have won. The Chiefs should have held on to win that game, but they didn't.
Well, that's the greatest collapse in playoff history, I think. Titans, I mean...
Oh, the Oilers? Well, that has to be the biggest.
Oilers,
because they were dealing with a backup quarterback in Rich. But he was a backup quarterback, and he had also engineered the greatest college comeback of all time.
True.
I think that was a bigger comeback than this one. Also, that was a divisional. That's a divisional round. This was wild card round. I mean, but there were a lot of similarities. There was actually a lot of similarities between this and the epic in Miami, the Chargers Dolphins game in 81.
That was fantastic. Yeah. I remember Kellen Winslow.
He had to be helped off the field.
Yeah. I mean, he gave it all. That was huge.
Yeah, it was like an 85-degree night in January or December.
I remember that. But what interests me in that Kansas City Colt game is that what was Andy Reid throwing the ball? He's so in love with throwing the ball. I mean, why not protect that lead and kill that clock? And what were they thinking? Asleep on the lead?
That's not how he plays. Brad Childress, who used to be the Vikings coach, he was the offensive coordinator for Andy Reid for several years, and he came out when he got the job in Minnesota and said, look, it wasn't my decision, because they did like a 70-30 pass-run split for a while. He never had it balanced. It was all pass. And Childress came out and said, that wasn't my decision. That's Andy. So Andy likes to throw the ball. And if you have somebody like Jamal Charles out, and I think they're second.
That's almost a moot point because they scored all those points pretty much without him on
the
field. So, I mean, you know, I think that's...
And to be fair, it wasn't the offense's fault. Alex Smith left the field with the lead. It was the defensive fault.
And now they were touted.
They were touted, yeah. They had second or third highest takeaway percentage.
But how do you let that little wide receiver?
T.Y. Hilton.
I mean, you don't catch on after four quarters that this guy is going to kill you?
Yeah, Trent Richardson is not going to do it. Colby Fleener is not, you know, Dallas Clark. So you have one guy to not beat you and...
They let it happen.
I don't know how, but they let it happen.
But defense doesn't seem that important this year. But then again, the defensive teams are still around in the playoffs.
They are. A 1-2-3. The defense is 1-2-3 at Seattle, Carolina, and San Francisco. We're 1-2-3 in the league, and they're all in.
But it seems like, I mean, I'm looking at the spreads, and the scoring is down except for that cold game.
Right.
But, I mean, they clearly are allowing you to what they call play, which is to mug receivers. All year they didn't let you put a hand on somebody, and now you can mug them.
Yeah.
So looking at these high spreads, it's based on knowing that. I don't think that's going to change now in the playoffs.
No. And they usually let them play because you never want the – well, you never
– there was flagrant.
No. I agree that there were, but at the same time, the refs don't want to be the one to be the turning point. They want the play to be the
turning
point.
Well, that's what people say. I believe that more people are watching, and particularly worldwide in the playoffs and certainly the Super Bowl, and they want the product to look clean.
Oh, no, they do. I think that's fair. I think that they let borderline calls just pass. I think when it's flagrant, you can't.
A little bit more than borderline.
Well, I think that's true, yeah. So that was a good game. I mean, all the games were good, except the Chargers-Bengals game. I couldn't believe it. I really wanted Cincinnati to go pretty far in this
year. People are saying that, well, Peyton Manning was 0-3 in his first three playoff games.
Yeah, but not like this.
But this guy is not Peyton Manning.
No.
I mean, I feel that he's a quarterback, but he's not a football player. He doesn't have a feel for the flow of the game.
I think that's fair.
I mean, I saw him throwing some balls that, you know, to covered people just to get it out there.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, fitting in a small window is one thing.
Yeah.
But, he looked reckless.
He did. No, that's for sure.
And I'd probably be back because quarterbacks are hard to find and develop and all that. But truthfully, I think he's pretty much shown us what he can do.
Andy Dalton.
He's not always a pretty sight.
No,
unreliable.
Yeah, I think that's true. Marvin Lewis, He's 0-4 in playoff games, and that's the next to worst, right in front of Jim Mora, who's 0-6. But yeah, so four times in the playoffs, and he's 0-4. And the Bengals haven't won since Boomer Esiason was their quarterback. And hey, congratulations to the Chargers. They've been playing playoff football these last couple weeks to begin with.
Well, I'm not sure about that because they sat 19 players Kansas City when they played them, and they barely beat them.
That's true.
So, you know, that was kind of iffy.
Well, now they get the real test.
But all the good quarterbacks won, the best quarterbacks in all the playoff games won, except Rodgers. And that was a depleted team.
That was a depleted team, and the elements. I mean, that ball was hard as a rock. I mean, this
one. What about Crabtree?
Crabtree.
Best performance in the playoffs so far?
So
individual,
far.
Or are you going to go to Hilton?
But I would agree Crabtree did a really good job.
Well, you know,
that game.
I considered him a garage kept. He was up on the rack getting tuned up and everything. He wasn't playing. He was injured. And so he really had a lot of energy.
Yes.
He wasn't worn down through the season.
No.
And it almost made Bolden a decoy.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah. Now, who's the tight end there? Because
Vernon Davis.
Yeah.
He's really good. He's a very good. He's probably one of the best tight ends now that Hernandez and Gronkowski
are. He has some speed downfield. He's the highest paid player on that team.
Yeah. And you can see why. If not in this game, I mean the previous playoff runs.
Right.
So he's going to be good.
Now,
for
are they
to watch
kind
out.
Of a mirror image of the Panthers and a mirror image of San Francisco, or are they just?
I could see it. I could.
They're
see
not
it.
A public team.
No.
The way San Francisco is, so people know little about them.
Yeah,
the
but
the thing that bothers me about picking the Panthers is that you never get. They're always in a tight game. It seems
they are. No, absolutely they are. And that one's going to be interesting.
Cam Newton's coming out party.
Could be. It could be.
People pay attention in the playoffs.
Yes.
You can make your bones there.
Oh, absolutely you can. But it all depends because only in the last like two seasons has Newton become a team player. In the previous couple seasons, he's been...
He was more of a Houdini, more of an escape artist.
Well, yeah, but also, you know, a me, not a me, I shouldn't say a me guy, but you were able to tell, like, I'm Cam Newton, I'm the quarterback, and these are the guys who play with me, and not...
Do you give him any chance?
Of course you give him a chance. They're at home. San Francisco has to come back farther across the country.
Now, this will be the second game that San Francisco's favorite on the road.
Yeah, sometimes your luck just runs out.
Well, yeah, that's like a betting angle to go against that. And at the same time, you got a Bruner.
You do have a Bruner, yeah, because two. It's fluctuating between 2-3 and stuff like that.
The Green Bay San Francisco game deadline ended up at 3, and the final score was 23-20.
So. Hit it right on the head. I would have to say that, yeah, Carolina and the Niners have both good defenses, both scrambling running quarterbacks with very good arms, because Newton has a really good arm. A powerful running game, Tolbert, D'Angelo right. Williams, Hunter, and Gore. And I think
it'll be the most boring of the games.
I would say, there could be one or two blowouts because I'm looking New Orleans at Seattle. I know that Seattle lit a smackdown on New Orleans last time they came. It could be closer, but nah. I mean, good for New Orleans. New Orleans won their first playoff game on the road in the history of their franchise. Not that they've been to the playoffs so many times, but I mean that was big for them beating up, pulling one out in Philadelphia.
Well, Philadelphia. You know, I mean, I think it's been said before, and I kind of agree that more games are lost than won.
That's true.
So, I mean, when the ball's laying there and the guy comes in to help, it's laying right near the goal line, and he kicks it in the end zone.
Yes.
I mean, it's just dumb things like that.
I know.
But the one growing pain that he seems to be going through, Foles, is takes his eyes off downfield.
Yes.
And so he leaves a lot on the table.
Yes, he does.
You know, and by taking these sacks, I mean, the one sack he took was brutal.
Yeah. Yeah, it was tough. Right now it seems like a lot of Philadelphia fans are happy with the direction it's going in. It's new, it's exciting, but it's It's also different, and it's something to look forward to. So, yeah, so I think New Orleans at Seattle, that could be, you know, a lot of us don't want it to be, but it's very likely it could be, you know, a two-touchdown game, maybe something more than that. Seattle's got a great defense. They're at home. They don't lose at home. It's the playoffs. They're the first seed. I mean, it's going to be tough. And I, as much as I want New England out of the playoffs, it's the Colts. I don't care if it's Manning. I don't care if it's Luck or it's Johnny Unitas. Going into New England, it's never, ever worked out well for the Patriots, or for the Colts, I should say. So, hey, I would love it. As a fan, as a Jet fan, seeing the Patriots lose at home in the playoffs again would be wonderful. But there's that bit of reality that sets in and say, you know, this is a team that's played above their skill level all season, and they're hosting a playoff game again, and the Colts are coming in. They're big punching bags, so I don't know. Maybe this is where Luck, you know, last week, Luck and the Colts, this is where they turn the corner. They pull one out. I mean, it's very likely that they could, but I don't know. So
the luck factor.
The luck factor. It could be. You know, you need a little bit of luck every now and then. So
now I was hearing that Belichick was making some comments about making some changes in the point after attempt. That 99.6% go through.
Right.
So why are you wasting all that time with that?
Yep.
So should you make them go for the 2-point conversion? Do you bring the goalposts in, or do you leave the game the way it is?
Leave the game the way it is. You know,
But, I mean, here's the thing that interests me. The NFL wanted scoring.
Yes.
So they can't climb on somebody's back, leap up to block the kick. Yeah. Right? You can't do that.
Yeah.
Now you can't even line up over the center. And they're wondering why all these things are successful. I mean, they've created it.
Yeah, they have. So changing the game, it's not going to matter. I mean, I am not a fan of the overtime rules. I don't like that. If, you know, if you're they kicked a field goal, we didn't get a chance to stop them. Stop them. That's the only thing you. When did football become, you know, it's sort of that reflection of, in a small way, society, you know, where it's, you know,
fairness.
Yes, the opportunity. This is football. Football is organized non-lethal war. This is war.
Well, that's a good
field general. Gridiron.
Well, yeah, it's about capturing territory.
Yes, attack. It's right. It's war.
Now, what about not making? I know Jerry Jones is a big.
Yeah, he hates the victory formation.
And a lot of guys love that play because it. You know,
It means you win. Right. Yeah. Jerry Jones doesn't want
negative.
Is it
fun
negative
to watch? Play. No.
No, but
I like when people try to blow it up. Of course, that guy's fired.
Oh yeah, Shiano. Yeah, when Shiano, they were rushing it. What was that? Week one against the Giants. They were Giants were in victory formation, and Shiano told his defensive players to push forward, try and get a turnover.
Well, I mean, how do you preach 60 minutes, and then at some point at 59 minutes, I meant.
Yeah, but here's the thing. It's not happening at minute 48. It's not like the other team is so dominant they're taking the knee. You know, oh, we're up 35 points.
Yeah.
All right, now we're taking. No. Yeah. Then you run off to, I don't know. I don't know what to tell you. If you're bored by the 58th, 59th minute, I'm okay.
Yeah.
Then you either change a channel, you get up, go to
make
the bathroom,
make
a sandwich, you wait for the next game, you talk to the people you're with, or you go to bed and
but
shut it off.
But the game is not mature because there's constant rule changes.
Yes, it is. It constantly changes.
Now, they want rule changes that, of course, now safety of the player is important. So that's why you don't line up over the center.
Right, and everybody's got to come off for like 5 plays unless you're really, really bad, or, you know. Just stuff like that. I mean, I've said it before, you know, honor and glory, you know, a short life and, you know, leave it all out in the field and you'll be remembered as a hero forever. You might not be able to remember what street you live on, but you'll live forever in the hearts and minds of your fans.
Now, what about poor tackling? I've been complaining about that all year. You saw that in Green Bay.
I saw that in Green Bay. I've seen that in so many places. It's ridiculous. I was watching the BCS championship game,
right.
Florida State one. Horrendous tackling in the college ranks. I was even watching footage of a game from the 30s, Giants Bears, and the sneaker game.
Okay,
and I saw guys not even tackle it. They were just throwing shoulders. So it's been going on forever. So at this point, I throw my hands up in the air. I say it's never going to change.
Well, they want offense, so
yes.
Does it really matter?
No. So that's why when you see these really good defensive teams, you can't help but really give them a big shot. Yeah, as much as this is an offensive-driven league, a quarterback-driven league, because no game right. managers are left in the playoffs. So any sort of good defense you have a big shot to go really far. Like I said, the top three are San Francisco, Seattle, and Carolina. Not in that order, but those are the big ones that they're talking about.
So then how does that bode well? How does that bode for Denver now with Miller out? And I mean, they were suspect to begin with on defense. I mean, they're almost like bully tactics. They get ahead.
Yes.
And then their defense looks good.
Yeah. I mean, this is the real test for Peyton, because he lost last year at home with right. the number one seeding.
Same thing this year.
Now, I've said, you know, I said it last year to some people. If you are a historically bad cold weather quarterback and you go to probably one of the coldest places in, you know, December yeah. and January.
But how many of us want to face our weaknesses?
Not many, but I will give it that. Hey, if you do that, good for you. But
now I'm thinking San Diego's playing with house money.
Oh, absolutely they are. They absolutely are. And this is Mike McCoy, who was the offensive coordinator last year.
That's huge.
That's big. So this is going to be close, and it might be
so
big.
So take the points.
Yeah, take the points. I think San Diego plus 10. They're plus 10. I would take that, and I would take the Bruner. Yeah, so
you would. So you.
I would take those two games. Sure. Okay. I don't know what to tell you with the New England and the Seattle game. I like Seattle. I really want to take the Colts, but this is the game. Last week I couldn't pick the Chiefs Colts, and it was a good thing I didn't, because I would have looked bad if I had gone with the Chiefs. But I can't do the same with Indianapolis, New England. I don't know. I would take San Francisco, Carolina. That's tough.
Well, what I'm finding throughout, we could look it up, but New England in the playoffs and Super Bowl, I don't think any Super Bowl they were in, they covered the spread.
No, they won all by three.
Well, there you go. So this one's seven. So, yeah. You know, 7-10-ish stuff, 7.5, all of these, it almost makes me want to take them all, take all the
yeah.
the points.
Yeah, I would probably take, you have to go with San Francisco to outright to win. And I like Denver.
Really? 10 points? Oh, you mean to win, but
no, to
not
win.
Cover.
To win, probably not to cover. I'm telling you, it's going to be a close game no matter what. If it's a blowout, then hey, good for Peyton.
But have we seen any blowouts? No.
No, we haven't seen any. I don't want a blowout.
Right.
This is the week that always scares me, because this is always the week, the divisional playoffs, the 1-2
teams that had the ball last won. Is this like the NBA now?
Saints won on the last possession.
San Francisco
won on the last possession. And, I don't know about the San Diego. I turned that game off.
You did?
Yeah, I couldn't watch it anymore. Bengals Chargers, nah, I got ready for the next game.
Okay.
Yeah, game's good. So, and then tomorrow, we're recording this on Tuesday the 7th, tomorrow is the Hall of Fame ballot. And
so
now
nobody with the history of
well, first of all, last,
rumored or actual drug
well, first of all, last,
PEDs
well, first of all, last year, nobody got voted in.
Except the
no,
managers.
No. Well, no. Last year.
Oh, nice.
That doesn't count.
That doesn't count.
Nobody could care. Can you name me who was on the Veterans Committee? Okay, so then they go. These are the players that, you know, have only been out of the game for around 20 years. So these are the players. Last year, nobody got voted in.
Okay.
The closest was Biggio at 68.2. Now, there are those people who are saying nobody who played in the era is getting in. And then there were those saying, yeah, well, what about pitchers? Because they're really good. You know, if it was a hitter's time, the pitcher should get in. So right now, the first ones on the ballot this year are Greg Maddux and Tom Glavine, and they're almost assuredly getting in.
Right.
Especially Maddux. Apparently he's...
Well, they have to pick somebody.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Because if nobody's going to get voted in from this era, then they might as well shut the doors and find it's just going to be a rotting museum. Nobody's news coming.
Well, that's interesting, because these type museums are not popular.
No.
Attendance is down.
I mean, I've gone twice. I love to go, but I love baseball, but it's never crowded. And the most crowded it gets is on induction day.
Right.
And last year, who was going to see, you know, some guy from the dead ball era? You know, like Deacon Phillips or or Deacon White, or anybody whose name was, you know, was a nickname back then. Irish Chief, Deacon, something like that. No, they don't want to go see that. They want to see these players. So right now, Biggio at 68.2, it's very likely he'll get a bump up. He had 3,000 hits.
That's last year, right?
That last year he was at 16.2. You need 75% to get in. So Craig Biggio was the closest at 68.2.
Right.
So this is his second year on the ballot. Jack Morris was at 67. He needs 75. This is his 15th and last year on the ballot.
Wow.
And he was the most he had the most wins during the 80s. And he was a great big game pitcher. Game 7 of the 91 World Series when he went 10 innings. I mean, he was a gamer. I think he was second behind Tom Seaver for most opening day starts. You know, but my personal one that I feel needs to get in is Mike Piazza. There is no link between him and steroids. There is none. There's not a rumor. There's not a...
So what's the problem?
Because he played in the era. And all of these, and so many writers are saying, well, how do we know who did and who didn't? How do we know? So if you played...
Why is it so important in baseball? And I see this, the Seattle Seahawks had seven guys this year? Are they going to say what drug they were using?
Yeah, but they were, they violated...
Seven of them. And not hire Peep.
No.
Baseball is some sacred...
No, it's not. It's not. I don't feel it is. And if you get with the times, that's what I really think. Like, it's just ridiculous because you're only going to, as time goes on, you're only going to cater to the old fans.
Now, if the fans voted, they'd be voting everybody in?
There would be a good amount. Mean? Well, a good example is Don Mattingly. I once heard a discussion of Don Mattingly versus Kirby Puckett.
Oh.
Kirby Puckett is in the Hall of Fame. They have very similar stats.
Right, that's true.
Very similar stats. The biggest difference is Mattingly won MVP, Puckett won World Series.
Big difference.
Two World Series. So
didn't he go blind?
He did, and he that.
I wonder what he was doing. How'd that happen?
Oh, I don't know. I think it was a stigma in his eye or something. I don't know how it worked.
It's horrible.
But his career was actually cut short. He could have played longer.
Longer, yeah.
Donnie couldn't play any. His back was
horrendous. Thomas. I mean, here's the big guy hurt. That should get some votes. I mean, yeah, if you're known as the big hurt.
The four they're saying will get in, Maddox, Glavin, Biggio, and Frank Thomas.
Oh, okay.
So, and Frank Thomas, he played during the era, but he played before. Started
Sammy
before.
Sosa, Rafael Palmeiro.
Yeah, those are the bottom of the list. I mean, Palmeiro's got five.
What about that crime fighter, McGriff?
I think he should be in. 493 homers. He has a higher career batting average than Biggio, 284 to 281.
So 281 gets in the Hall of Fame?
With 3,000 hits. He played with one team.
That's longevity.
Biggio played 20 years.
Shouldn't it be a cutoff?
Biggio played 21 years. 20 years.
I thought 300 was the mark.
No, 3,000 hits was the mark. 300, well, that used to be.
Larry Walker, did he have a good throwing arm? I think he did.
He had a good throwing arm.
He had more than one tool.
Yeah, oh, he was a great hitter. He won a couple.
He was, wasn't he?
But the thing
was that Rockies?
Yep, they're going to throw out the coolest field, the higher altitude, the thinner air. That's the other thing. You look at somebody like Edgar Martinez. He had a .312 batting average. But because he was an everyday DH, well, we can't let it. That's the integrity. The integrity of the game is killing it. It's ridiculous.
There's integrity?
Apparently it is when it comes to these writers who apparently when they got blown off, they hold grudges. I don't want to talk to you today. So, you know what? It's ridiculous. I'm going to be very, very upset if Piazza doesn't get in this year.
Baseball's losing its popularity? There's too many other...
Financially, no. How? Financially, no. It's not. It's not.
I don't go to as many games as I used to.
No. Well, that's because they made stadiums smaller.
Prices higher. It's kind of the cross between Disney World and the mall.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think that they call Yankee Stadium the mall at Yankee Stadium. I've heard it called the mall at Yankee Stadium.
The food choices are better.
Oh, that's amazing. The food is amazing at both stadiums. I've been just they're wonderful.
Right.
So I'm going to be very upset if Piazza doesn't get in. And if he,
and Roger Clemens definitely makes sense. Clemens, I mean, you know, like him or not, I mean,
Clemens and Bonds,
he was a force.
Well, here's the thing. Here's the thing about Clemens and Bonds that I'll say over anybody else like Sosa and Palmeiro. Clemens and Bonds were great before they allegedly took the stuff.
True.
Then they became otherworldly. Palmeiro was a slap hitter before he took
the juice,
and then he popped up. Sosa, he was a string bean. He was okay. He was barely okay. Then he took it, and then he was great. So I'm not big on those guys. However, Clemens and Bonds should be because their body of work prior to, let's call it 95. Let's call it the strike. Anytime before the strike. That's the other reason why Thomas gets in. He came up in 90, so he started playing in 91. Really after the strike, when the baseball took a big hit, that's when they were like, okay, we got to do something. Home runs, juice, let's do it, whatever we got to do. So, you know, if you play before that, you know, I can understand not having
a problem. Well, I mean, a lot of people don't remember the strike. I mean, I went on strike the year after.
Yeah.
And it's only fair.
No, I think that's true.
You quit on me, what am I running through the gate for?
No, it's true.
And it did taint it a little bit.
It did. But then what brought us back? The home run chase.
That was exciting.
That was exciting. Everybody wanted to know. Everybody wanted to watch.
McGuire.
Sure. So, but
what did McGuire do? I mean, he took some over-the-counter stuff, no?
Yeah. Andro. The short name is it. So, again, they made all this money off of all this popularity. Baseball's back. Now, wait a minute. Now you're not welcome to come back. Now we're not letting you into the Hall of Fame because you did that stuff. But I helped bring you back to the promised land. Nope, sorry. You did that stuff. You didn't do it the right way.
So the Hall of Fame is not as important as it once was because we see the careers. We know what we see, and we don't need someone to tell us what we saw.
No.
It's kind of like announcers on television. They're telling me what I already just saw. I mean, the radio, I understand, but I mean, could you?
Yeah, they don't need that. So we'll see. It's very likely that it's going to be 4.
Okay. I'm down with that.
I'd love it to be 5, even 6, because I could do in Morris. But Piazza, for me.
Now, who on the list do you think were all-stars, but not really Hall of Famers? I mean, Jeff Kent, I remember him kind of pumped up.
Jeff Kent.
Was he taking some stuff?
No. Well, I don't know. I have not heard. But that's the other thing. I haven't heard, so I don't know.
Right.
But at the same time, he has more RBIs, and he played less seasons. He has more RBIs than Larry Walker. He is on par with Fred McGriff. He's got more than Edgar Martinez.
What about Curt Schilling?
Curt Schilling? There were, when they talk about Hall of Fame careers, there's a good 7 years. Like I'd say anywhere between 7 to 10 years where you are the best. And I think for 7 years... he was one of the best.
He was very, very tough competitor.
Starting with 96, 97, up into about 2005, 2006. So there's a good 8, 9 years there, maybe 7, where he was one of the best.
Didn't he pitch bleeding?
Yes, the bloody sock.
Where's that?
Well, one is in the Hall of Fame.
Part of him's there already.
Part of him here. That was the one that he wore in the Yankee game, the game 6. The one that he wore in Game 1 of the World Series, that was a bloody sock. He sold that because he went bankrupt.
Yeah, no, what did he have?
He started a video game company. He's a big gamer. He started his own video game. But the problem is he pretty much put in all of his money.
And everyone else's.
So
they're so used to success, they can't...
I know. Well, it's hard. Yeah, that's the other thing. That's something they said about Pete Rose. The reason he came out with the admission of I did bet on baseball was because... the money ran out, and you have a certain way of life, and it's hard to go back to anything else. So, okay, how am I going to make money? You know, well, you sell books, you say you did all that stuff. So,
but people don't want to hear it.
No, people don't want to hear it. I'd like to see him in the Hall of Fame, but that's for another day, I'd have to say. Well, thank you very much, Dad, for joining me on this episode. I appreciate it very much.
It's been fun, and there's a couple more games left. So a
couple more games.
Football season's not over.
Divisional weekend, and then a championship Sunday, and then the Super Bowl 2 weeks later, so...
In February?
February 2nd. Groundhog's Day.
Okay.
Happy Groundhog's Day. All right. Well, thank you very much. You can like us on Facebook at Everyman Sports. You can find us on iTunes. Just search for Everyman Sports in the search. You can come to our website at everymansports.podbean.com. And you can email me at everymansports@gmail.com. That's one word, everymansports@gmail.com. Thank you very much. Bye.